Thanks very much, Scotty. We appreciate that very much. All the work that you obviously put into that and for the practical application to it for our own lives. I'm not a great individual for encouragement, I don't think, in many ways, and I hope what I'm going to do is not appropriate. What I would like to do is really share a verse in what Scotty was talking about. What did I say that's so funny? Anyway, just have a laugh. In the Gospel according to John, there's a wonderful verse, and I'm not trying to steal any of Scotty's thunder or any of the end of what he's saying. I was thinking of this, and listen to what it says, because it's going to tie into a little bit with what I want to share with you this evening. You call me Master and Lord. Sorry, let's back up. So after he had washed their feet, we know the story, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I'd like to share with you a little story I was reading the other day in one of the books I'm reading. A man who was an educator himself had children, of course. And his youngest son, I believe it was, came to him when he was going to take off and go to school for the first day of school, and he was so excited. He said, Dad, I'm going to learn to read. Going to school to read. And he said, That's great, son. And so off he went to school. He came home the end of the day, and he was all disappointed. Dad, he said, I can't read. That's okay, son. It'll take some time, but you'll learn to read. During the course of the first part of the year, the parent became quite concerned that his son was not learning to read. He said, Well, maybe I need to speak with the teacher. So he did. He went and spoke to her, and she said, It really doesn't matter if he can read. It's just if he's happy. Is he content? Interesting, the educator thought. He said, Well, I'll give it some time. And he did. He graciously stepped back, or I assume he graciously did so. And he allowed the year to proceed. And at the end of the year, his son still could not read, and he had to spend some of his resources to get him some private education that he could get to be where he should be at that time in his life. And he said, I can't let it pass by for this. It was a young teacher that he had been sharing with his son. And so he went, and he shared the thoughts with her that, you know, my son can't read. And you had indicated that it was okay, as long as he was happy. And he posed to her this searching question or thought. Did it ever occur to you that he would be happier if he could read? Now, I couldn't escape the thought as Scotty was sharing with us. Did it ever occur to us or to me that I would be happier if I was a servant? If I was serving? The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest servant of all, undoubtedly, we would say the man with the most joy, happiness, and if I can say that of his life, the most fulfillment. Happy are ye if you do them. It wouldn't be an easy thing to wash somebody's feet. It might be, well, it'd be tough enough for me to wash somebody I knew their feet, but to do it just to one another, to serve one another. Do you have that type of servant attitude? I'm going to leave me out of the question because I know my heart's end of things. It's difficult, but so rewarding. Thank you very much, Scotty, for those practical thoughts and encouragement for us in our lives. We're in the Gospel according to John in chapter 21. I want to share with you a couple of things this evening, carrying on a little bit from where we were this morning. We talked about fishing, feeding, and following. And we're not going to read the first part of this chapter again, but the one thing I want to reiterate as we move on from the fishing end of things is that the Lord is not only looking for people who will be fishers of men, he's also looking to catch, if I can use that analogy, those who will be disciples of him. Those who will work, those who will follow, those who will forsake, those who will flee, and we could find all kinds of things in the Word of God that indicates what we are to do as disciples, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly we are to be fishers of men, but the Lord is certainly looking for disciples, those who would follow him. We want to start at verse 9 this evening for our reading. John chapter 21 and verse 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. For none of the disciples dared ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And we'll end our reading there for this evening. So as we consider being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, or as one who wants to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take the second of the implications of this passage in regards to feeding. Now, right on the heels of the fishing expedition, if we can call it that, was the interaction that the Lord Jesus Christ would have directly with his disciples. And in this passage, primarily at the latter part of it, at least, directly with Peter. Singling out Peter to have some very trying, very searching questions into his very heart, really, and into his life. But prior to that, we find that when they were come to the shore, that there was a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. And my mind immediately goes back to the life of Elijah and how Elijah, if you recall, in 1 Kings, he was doing a great work for God. He had walked onto the pages of history, into the pages of the Word of God, seemingly unknown, and right up to King Ahab, and he challenged King Ahab, or he declared God's word to King Ahab, and he said, it's not going to rain. And it didn't. And he went and he hid himself as Ahab searched the country for him. And then he would come back at the word of the Lord, and he would declare before Ahab, it's going to rain, and we're going to meet on Mount Carmel and to see and declare just who is God, whether is it Baal and his prophets, or is it the God of Israel, the Lord God of heaven. And after that great victory, you will recall on Mount Carmel, Elijah ran in the strength of that. The rain was coming, and he actually outran the chariot to Jezreel. And when Ahab returned home and told Jezebel, his wife, all of what Elijah had done, what the Lord had done, Jezebel said, Elijah, your life will be like one of my prophets by tomorrow. In other words, I'm going to slay you. And he fled. He ran for his life. And in that running experience, he found himself tired, of course, without food, without resource. And he sat down. And when he awoke, he found that there was the angel of the Lord who fed him upon a fire of coals already prepared. And there was fish, there was food, there was substance, there was provision from God himself. You know, it's a wonderful lesson for each one of us as we apply them to ourselves again spiritually. You know, the Lord has said that He would provide for our needs. You know, there's an interesting, I suppose, saying to that or adding to that, that the Lord has said He would provide for our needs and not our greeds, right? Or wants? Absolutely. Because we want lots. I know at 260 Baltic Road where I reside, there's all kinds of wants. And lots of the wants are mine. And the Lord hasn't promised those things. He'll promise that He'll provide for our needs. That He'll take care of us. And when we think of it spiritually, we think of the Lord Himself telling us, "Lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the age." To the end of this dispensation, this time, occurrence, the Lord Jesus says, "I will be with you." And here we see this wonderful provision for His disciples. After a difficult night, after Him revealing Himself to them in these things, there is this provision placed for them right there in front of them. As you think of Peter, what do you suppose come into Peter's mind? If you were Peter, if you have a little bit of background, which I suppose most, if not all here do, with regard to Peter, where was perhaps the last time we read of a fire and warmth and Peter? A time when he denied the Lord. And he would find that Peter, if you go back to, well, let's go back and read that. In Luke chapter 7. Sorry, no. Where was it I wanted to read that? In Luke chapter, I may not even be able to remember it now. I'm as nervous as Scotty. Give me just a second. 22, sorry. Luke chapter 22. And verse 54. Then they took Him, that is the Lord Jesus, and led Him and brought Him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire that they had kindled, and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crowed, or the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Do you suppose Peter remembered standing on the seashore of Galilee? I can't help but think that he did. And I'm not going to say that he was again all wallowed back into that point in his life and to get all down and discouraged. Remember, we mentioned the verses this morning, 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But here was an occasion in Peter's life which looked a lot, again, like one he'd been at. And I always think of the principle, I suppose, or the understanding that if you sit close to the world's fire, you're going to get burned. You sit close to the Lord's fire, you come alongside the Lord Himself, and you will have fellowship and food and provision and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So we want to be sitting close to the Lord's fire, the Lord's provision, that which would warm our souls spiritually and draw us close to Him. We notice in verse 12 that the Lord invites them to come and dine with Him. You know, Scotty was talking about servants. I've never been in the home of anyone with a servant. I don't know anybody with a servant. But it seems to me that as a general rule, when people are servants to the master of the house, they generally serve the meal. And they may eat in another location outside of the main dining hall or whatever the case might be. Here we have the Lord himself, Lord and Master, inviting his disciples to dine with him. To come and to be not only have the provision made for them, but also to sit. Not as servants, we might say as sons. Does it sound vaguely familiar of Leviticus when that servant who loved his master would go and he would want to be marked for life? That he loved his master. And he would not go out. And he would stay and he would gladfully and willingly. You see, to be a servant, one must be willing. And he would willingly serve in the house of his master. We find the Lord inviting them to come and to dine, not as servants, but as close fellowship with him. In this verse also, we have the understanding or the record of them saying they wouldn't dare ask him who he was, for they knew who he was. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter readily responded, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's important that we understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that we have an appreciation of him, and that we're very quick to share that appreciation, that we're very forward in our lives and in our hearts more so to give him that rightful place. But you remember on the road to Damascus one day when there was another one who, struck by the brilliance of the glory of the risen Son of God, would say, "Who art thou?" And after being revealed to Paul on the road that day, his second comment would be, "What would you have me to do?" And if there was a servant ever in human form outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it was the Apostle Paul who served, who faithfully followed. You ever ask the question, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" It's not always what we think, at least, is the grandeur of maybe the mission field or the platform ministry or all those things. You remember the Word of God is very clear to talk about the gifts or the members of the body. And how would I be without my heart? All that you see would be of very little use without the heart. Or some of the other vital organs. They call them vital organs because you have to have them. You know, there's some vital organs sitting right amongst us. And sometimes it comes with very little regard, very little pomp, perhaps absolutely no recognition. I'm not saying that's perhaps right. But if you're where the Lord would have you, if you've asked that question and it has been responded to you, Scotty made a wonderful practical application to us this evening with regards to our cleaning schedule, the various programs as far as we can serve in. There's all kinds of things, just practical things that have to be done. Oh boy, I hope we're not above them. I hope we have a servant heart, truly willing to serve. "Lord, what would you have me to do? Who are you?" And then, "What would you have me to do?" When Jesus cometh, he not only invites them, he serves them. He gives it to them. And then he wants to pause for a moment and reflect upon the life of Peter, or the service of Peter. You see, Peter had been, I believe, in Luke chapter 24, we have that short verse that the Lord had appeared to Peter, or half verse. And I believe Peter had been restored to fellowship with the Lord. I believe it's intentionally, obviously it's intentionally the Word of God. There's, as one lady mentioned to me this morning again, it's there for a reason. There's no word out of place in the Word of God. It's there for a reason. And the Scripture is silent as to that communication between the Lord and Peter. Isn't that gracious? It could have been all laid out for us, and that could be in our minds as we think about Peter. But the Lord is gracious, and the Lord restored Peter. But not only would he have to be restored to the Lord, privately. He would have to be restored to the Lord publicly, and in particular, right amongst his own peers. And the Lord would ask that question three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Well, our time is gone, so I'm not going to start to consider it other than that, but I leave you and I with the searching question. From the pages of Scripture itself, may it resonate into our minds and echo in our minds and in our hearts. Do you love me? And listen to Peter's response at the end of it and consider it. Lord, thou knowest all things. And truly the Lord does know all things. I think every one of us would say, yes, we love the Lord. Most in the auditorium tonight would be born again, saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are different degrees, I suppose, of our love, different degrees of our service, and different degrees of our obedience. Well, I suppose there's no degree of obedience, is there? You either obey or you don't. So we teach our kids. You either obeyed me or you disobeyed me. May it be our desire this week, as we contemplate on what Scotty has shared with us, may we do so, to be servants. And may we contemplate in the light of that the searching of the Word of God in regards to our love and our care. And Lord willing, again, we'll have opportunity to consider maybe some of the thoughts regarding Peter. Our Father, we thank you and we bow again in thy presence to acknowledge your great gift. We acknowledge our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who deserves all glory, the one who deserves our praise, the one who deserves our obedience here tonight. We, Father, pray in his lovely name that we would be those who would be servants. We, Father, would be those who would want to follow, those who would want to forsake all and follow him. Help us to understand what this means, and then to put it into practical application in our lives. Father, we thank you for the ministry of thy word this evening that we have heard from our brother. Lord, may it direct our lives and our motives here tonight and tomorrow until we should come together again or the Lord be come again. We thank you, our Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his own precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you.